a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Get going. Good morning. We will bring Senate Education to order this beautiful Thursday morning. As a reminder, if you have a mobile device, please put it on mute or off. And if you are planning on testifying this morning on one of the bills that we're going to probably be hearing testimony on, please sign the roster in the back. With that, Jill, would you please call the roll?
Senators Buell.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Maher. Rampelberg. Soholt.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Johnston.
Here. Thank you, Jill. We do have a quorum. Minutes have been provided for the last meeting. I'll entertain a motion to move. Moved by Rave, second by Soholt. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. Thanks to our pages, Daniel Keller from Eagle Butte and Katie Roth from Sturgis. Hope your first week's been a good experience for you. We'll look forward to seeing you around next week, I hope, if you choose to come back. With that, any announcements, anything that the committee would like to talk about before we get rolling? Morning, Senator Rampelberg. All right. And by the way, Senator Maher had to pitch a bill in health quick, but then he'll be over in a minute. With that, we'll take up public testimony on Senate Bill 137.
We can do that from here, Mr. Chairman.
Please do.
Mr. Chairman, I would have someone from the committee entertain a motion to table Senate Bill 137 at the appropriate time. These first two bills on the docket are what we call vehicle bills, and we have a few titles floating around right now that probably would work for some of this stuff. As things start to come together at the end, it's nice to have some titles to utilize. So if someone would table 137, and I'll talk about 138 in just a minute. Thank you.
Senator Soholt.
I would table Senate Bill 137.
Motion to table by Soholt, second by Buell. That is a non-debatable motion and will be final action. So with that, we have a tabling motion for Senate Bill 137, an act to impact education in South Dakota. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. Jill, will you please call the roll?
Senators Buell.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Maher. Excused. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye. Senate Bill 137 is declared tabled. Senate Bill 138, an act to revise certain provisions regarding educational data reporting.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rave.
Just opposite of the last one, I would ask that the committee move this bill down to the floor. We'll probably move it to the bottom of the calendar, but before crossover day, we'll make a decision whether it needs to get out or not. We're just trying to clear the calendar here in education. So I'd ask the committee's indulgence to pass 138 again, and it's just a vehicle bill, and it's got a good title. Some of the ideas that are floating around out there, I think it could be useful here towards the end. So
thank you. Any other comments on Senate Bill 138? I'll now open to discussion and or action. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass on Senate Bill 138.
We have a do pass motion by Rampelberg, second by Rave on Senate Bill 138. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. Jill, will you please call the roll?
Senators Buell.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye. Senate Bill 138 by a majority margin is declared passed and will move to the floor. I'm just going to move it now. Senate Bill 202 is at the bottom of the calendar, but since we're on a roll here, I'm just going to move it up one spot. And thanks, Senator Nofstra, for being here. Because Senate Bill 202 was a product that started last year, and quite frankly, I had brought it to the legislature. I thought it was ready, and some things have developed this week, and some folks weren't able to be here. So with a lot of stuff going on, I just decided to table Senate Bill 202, and we'll continue the discussion to develop a working product. So with that, I'll entertain a motion to table Senate Bill 202.
Mr. Chairman.
I'll let Senator Bonner have some time.
Well, oh, okay. Thank you, Senator Reeve. Mr. Chairman, motion to table Senate Bill 202.
We have a motion by Maher, second by Rave, to table Senate Bill 202, an act to provide for the creation of a pilot program for public charter schools. This tabling motion is final action, and with that, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. Jill, will you please call the roll? Thank you.
Senators Buell. Jensen.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye. Senate Bill 202, an act to provide for the creation of a pilot program for public charter schools, is declared tabled. Thank you. Wow. We got three bills in 4 minutes.
You know, we do the same thing in Northrop's. We're done in 6 minutes. Might be a record.
With that.
Or pass it either way, real quick.
We'll now open public testimony on Senate Bill 187, an act to allow a school district to opt out of the continuing contract requirements for teachers. Senator Nofstrup, good morning. Welcome to Senate Education.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee. I'm very impressed. You guys really move things through up here, so that'd be a good lesson for the House, possibly, to watch what you guys do. So, as many of you were here last year, you noticed that we had a large discussion on what was packaged together called education reform. And one of the frustrations that I heard from many legislators were the fact that they had one vote. They didn't have five votes, which is, you know, many components and pieces and parts, and I was in favor of some and opposed to some, and we never had a chance to vote on those separately, and the voters never had a chance to vote on them separately. And the one I'm bringing you today is a part of that education reform, and I'm not here to take a position on continuing contract. I'm here to take a position on should the local school district have the authority to make that decision. As I look at the state, I suspect Faith South Dakota has got a different set of needs in terms of the way they govern their school than Sioux Falls, South Dakota does. And all I want to do is give the local schools the authority, this local school boards, the authority to make that decision. The burden that we place upon the local school districts is nothing. If they choose to do nothing, that's one of their options. If they choose to take a vote on it, that's one of their options. If they choose to vote yes, they can do that. If they choose to vote no, so it's a pretty simple bill. The real question on this bill is, where do we want to make the decision? Do we want 105 legislators in peer? And as I think about it, I have never been in the school district of Chester. I've never been in the Huron School District. I've never been in terms of walking in the building. Of the 100, I believe last one, I used to serve on this committee, and I believe there's about 160 school districts. Is that? I've probably been in 20 of them. And how could I possibly know what's best for Elk Point? So with that, I will stand by for further testimony. And thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 187? Any other proponents? See none. Are there any opponents? Yeah, me too. Ms. Waltman, is this the first time you've testified?
No, it is not.
I think it is.
I don't.
Was your one time earlier.
All right.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Sandra Waltman, and I am a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Education Association. And we are here today to oppose Senate Bill 187, not because we don't believe in local control, but because we believe that issues regarding individual rights are so paramount that they must be left to the state. While Senate Bill 187 is not an outright repeal of due process rights for teachers, it will undermine those rights for teachers across the state. I just want to take a moment to talk about what continuing contract really means. Some continue to believe that continuing contract means a job for life for teachers. That, however, is not the case. Continuing contract simply establishes procedures for teachers whom are beyond their fourth year or fourth contract in the school district to appeal the decision of a non-renewal. State law already permits schools to dismiss teachers who are incompetent or who willfully neglect their duty as a teacher. Administrators just have to show cause, and this is generally done through a thorough evaluation process. Before teachers are given due process rights or the continuing contract status, they serve a probationary period of 3 years. And at that time, or during those 3 years, they can be non-renewed for no reason given. When a principal or administrator notices or identifies a struggling teacher, they will generally put that teacher on what is called the plan of assistance that generally has a time-specific deadline. If the teacher fails to improve during that plan of assistance or when that plan of assistance is complete, the district has cause to remove that teacher. Districts who wish to remove or dismiss a continuing contract teacher simply have to give reason and spell out the process for dismissal. Continuing contract simply grants teachers the right to appeal those decisions. This does protect good teachers from bad things happening, such as nepotism or political favoritism. Teachers are dismissed every year. The vast majority of teachers facing a fair dismissal with just cause leave the classroom. Only a small number of those who are dismissed and the vast majority will challenge their dismissal, and a majority of those dismissals are upheld. Now, I just want to take a moment to talk about who else might have some similar rights. Some believe that due process only applies to our school teachers. However, continuing contract or the process of continuing contract is very similar to the dismissal process for career service employees for the state of South Dakota. And, Mr. Chair, with your permission, I'd like to do a handout. What I'm handing out to you is some excerpts from the South Dakota State Employee Handbook, and in it, it spells out the process for dismissing a career service employee. There's actually 40 pages to the manual. If you would like to see all 40 pages, I can give you the link, but I figured I'd save, some paper today. Anyway, if you look through the process, you will see that a career service employee, if they are struggling or having problems, their manager will put them on notice or give them warning, generally put them on a plan of assistance that lasts no shorter than 30 days. And then if the employee still doesn't improve, the state has the right to dismiss the employee. The procedure also spells out a grievance or an appeals procedure for that employee, and the employee can appeal their dismissal to the Civil Service Commission. So as you can see, this is a very similar process to what teachers who have continuing contract are afforded. And finally, I just want to leave you with a couple thoughts. Focusing on a few ineffective teachers that are maybe in the classroom is a distraction from our real priority, which is ensuring that every child has a qualified, caring, and committed teacher. And to that end, we need to find ways to support all teachers in the classroom, even those that are struggling. SDA is establishing what we are calling a Commission on Teaching and Learning. Educators, along with the Associated School Board, school administrators, and we're even working with the Department of Education and hopefully a couple lawmakers, are going to come together over the course of the next year to work on what we're calling a blueprint to elevate the teaching profession in South Dakota. We believe that through this collaborative effort, we can find effective strategies to support those teachers in the classroom that will ultimately result in better outcomes. These debates over continuing contracts simply distracts from this important dialogue. Again, we don't believe this issue is about local control. It is about individual rights and treating our teachers as the professionals they are. For these reasons, we ask you to oppose Senate Bill 187. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wallman. Any other opponents to Senate Bill 187? Any other opponents? Morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Steve O'Brien, and I teach junior English at Watertown High School. I'm here representing just myself this morning. As a professional community, educators are on the brink of doing something great. For the first time, now that the dust has settled from last year and negotiations are soon to begin in many of our local districts, good, locally developed teacher evaluations are within our state's grasp. One unintended consequence proponents of eliminating continuing contract due process rights have not seen is that eliminating continuing contract actually is detrimental to meaningful teacher evaluation. Under continuing contract, an administrator has to provide reasons for termination. Those are the due process rights. Continuing contract is the accountability component requiring administrators to be effective evaluators, because those evaluations very well may be the foundation for removing or improving ineffective teachers at a local district. When teachers can be fired at will, then there is no incentive to do an effective evaluation. Effective evaluation becomes unnecessary and possibly even a liability to at-will dismissal. At-will termination undermines the evaluation process that SDEA and the Department of Education are working so hard to promote. Senate Bill 187 allows this watershed moment and all the hard work that has gone into getting here to be cast aside. Certainly districts will have to pay lip service to evaluation. The law requires that. But none of that evidence on performance would be required to be factored in at teacher termination. Under Senate Bill 187, termination requires neither thought nor reason. It takes evaluation and accountability of that evaluation a step backward. Continuing contract fosters an atmosphere of growth and improvement that is tremendously valuable in our school. When teachers feel secure to ask for help, to focus on improvement, to take risks to challenge themselves and their students instead of hiding flaws for fear of administration firing them, it creates a culture that fosters the same view toward their students. Teachers accept students' mistakes and help them improve when teachers are fostered with that same philosophy. Don't make our schools a gotcha trap that breeds fear and aversion to going out on a limb to do something great. Continuing contract embraces the growth inherent in the Danielson evaluation model promoted by the State Board of Education. Due process rights need to be protected at the state level. Having a reasoned cause for dismissal is the most effective check against discrimination at termination. Racism, sexism, nepotism, all currently must come under the scrutiny of due process. Eliminating continuing contract not only opens up the opportunity for discrimination, but actually protects the discriminator by providing the shield of at-will employment. Teachers who advocate for students, who stand up for students' needs, or even question their administrators, could lose the protection of having a reason for termination and potentially become subject to meritless, vindictive terminations. Certainly, we can all agree that there are bad reasons to get rid of teachers. Senate Bill 187 potentially will keep that hidden from view. Finally, I hear the argument that continuing contract is not a protection other workers in our state have. Others are at the whim of their employer's will, so why not teachers too? Questioning of why teachers get or deserve something good too often rises from a tear-them-down mentality. In a state that pays its teachers on average 63% of the national teacher wage, in a state that pays teachers $9,000 less than the next lowest paying state, our neighbor North Dakota, in a state that continues to increase the expectations of teachers' student success, both academically and socially, maybe, just maybe, it's okay that teachers receive compensation through a right to due process. In real dollars from lost earning, South Dakota teachers pay for that due process right. When Michelle Rhee proposed removing tenure for her D.C. teachers, she proposed a financial compensation for that removal in terms of a raise of 20% and $20,000 to $30,000 per teacher annually. Senate Bill 187 neither requires nor provides compensation for the removal of due process. It simply allows for a local opt-out. Continuing contract provides an incentive for teachers to put roots down and join a community that at-will employment never will. Giving local districts the ability to opt out as part of a compensation package currently given to teachers does nothing to promote the recruitment and retention of good teachers in the state of South Dakota. We should be looking to promote the best teaching in our state, and Senate Bill 187 does not move us in that direction. So I ask you to oppose Senate Bill 187. We should look to raise all boats, not sink the ones currently afloat. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Any other opponents to Senate Bill 187? Morning, Representative Hawks.
Good morning.
Did you sign in the back?
I did.
Awesome. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Paula Hawks. I am a representative from District 9. I am a veteran teacher, and I am here speaking on behalf of myself as a teacher in this state. First of all, I want to address the difference between tenure and continuing contract. The word tenure often gives the impression that teachers have a job for life, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that what teachers actually have is continuing contract, which allows for due process. The due process of continuing contract protects all parties, not just the teacher. Dismissing a teacher without reason is dangerous to the profession. It encourages teachers who have great promise to leave the classroom forever. I served as the president of our teaching association at West Central for 6 years, and I very often had teachers come into my room and say, I've just been dismissed. This happens with teachers in their first 3 years, and then we have no due process for them. In the first 3 years, that is the most tender time for a teacher. You're getting used to the rigors of teaching. You're getting used to the rigors of being in charge of a classroom. And right then, in those first 3 years, is the time when you need the most help that you can get. And after that, you have what's called continuing contract. And even in those first 2 years after your probationary time, you're still learning. You're still trying to figure out how to manage a classroom, meet your curriculum standards, and fit all of the initiatives that have been pushed onto you without extra time, without any kind of extra compensation to meet those requirements. And so continuing contract gives you an opportunity to have that due process that we really do truly need in our profession so that we can get the help and the assistance that we need. We all remember that one or maybe two teachers who should have moved on, should maybe not have been in the classroom. But we don't remember those 20, 25 other teachers who touched our lives, who made a difference in our lives and helped us to become the people that we are today. And those one or two teachers who need to be removed have a process in place if the administrators and the Board of Education in that district have the nerve to follow that procedure. And that's something that it comes down to, is administrators being willing to follow the procedure and remove the teacher in the way that is already set forth for them. And I'm aware that you are all aware of this Commission on Teaching and Learning. Discussion of this bill, discussion of removing continuing contract from teachers undermines the work that we have done with that commission. I ask that you remove this impediment to collaboration with the Commission on Teaching and Learning and make this go away.
Thank you, Representative Hawks. Any other opponents to Senate Bill 187? Any other opponents? Good morning, Senator Welke. Or Superintendent Welke, or what?
I was never a superintendent.
Okay,
but
sorry.
Principal, thank you. Good morning. I am Chuck Welke, State Senator from District 2. I live in Warner. District 2 represents Brown, Spank, Clark, and Hamlin. And I was in education for 35 years as a teacher, coach, athletic director, principal, so kind of on all sides of this. You know, I'm opposed to it because of a number of reasons. And I think, first of all, the people have spoken. That was part of this very unpopular bill, 1234. I guess I feel it's not needed. You know, since I retired in 2010, I spent a lot of time substitute teaching. And I love to substitute teach. It's great to go back. You should all do it and share the great knowledge and resources that you have going in and teaching a government class for a day or, you know, whatever it might be. But it's a challenging occupation. But the stress is off when you're subbing because you can always say no. You don't have to go back. But what I heard throughout this last year was, you know, very disheartening. But as a 35-year veteran, I've been through a lot of that over the years. Unfortunately, our teachers get the message from our legislators and our state government that they're not valued, that they're not very important. We don't pay them very well, as a previous speaker has already said. And then we float, you know, unnecessary bills that make their lives miserable. You know, we're going to have a real problem. There's not a lot of young people going into education. And we got a lot of them that are getting to be up to the point where they can retire. So it worries me that we're not going to have teachers. There's other things that they can do, make a lot more money, go to other states, you know, as we've already talked about. We don't need this because we can already remove a bad teacher. You know, there's an established process that works. And I'll agree with Al. He doesn't know what's best for schools in this case. That's a joke. I do appreciate Al because I think he works very hard. He's a great legislator. He was in this room recently and called our honored taxation committee the Killing Fields. And I'm hoping this is what this education committee is in this particular bill. But this late summer and early fall, I met with the Watertown principals. And we were talking, you know, it was before the election, so we talked a little bit about 1234, and, you know, they were very opposed. And one of the things that they were most opposed to was the evaluation process and the loss of continuing contract. Now, this is a principal's point of view, but they had worked very hard on a process that they felt was a very good process, that they felt gave them the chance to work with their teachers and to improve them. And for many of them, you know, you can tell in the first couple of years that this isn't going to work. It's time for them to go out and do something different. And there's no protection for those early teachers. And so it's a counseling process, an evaluation process, and so on. So they were very happy with the process that they had and felt that we should maintain that. Last spring at some point, I was in the dentist office and ran into an old friend, an old teacher that had retired a few years old, before me. And he said, you know what continuing contract does? It gives me the ability to give an F to the superintendent's kid if he deserves it, or the school board president's kid. Not giving them reasons, not protecting them in some ways, seems to me a bit harmful. Now, you know, we do this thing where we say, well, it's up to the local schools, just like with the other kind of controversial bill that we're floating through. Let them decide, and that's great. Let them, and that's a good way to, I think, absolve us of the responsibility. But, I just think it's not necessary. We have a way to remove bad teachers. I think we need to start sending some messages to our teachers that, you know what, we appreciate what you do. We know you got a tough job. Let's quit really making it difficult for them to do their jobs. So, anyway, I'm opposed to that, and I thank you for your time, and please vote against it.
Thank you, Senator Welke. Appreciate your testimony. Any other opponents to Senate Bill 187? Any other opponents? Seeing none, I will now allow Senator Nostrup time for rebuttal.
Mr. Chair, I apologize, but the Secretary may have an amendment that we should passed around previously, and I apologize for that oversight on my part. Basically, it's a grandfather clause to allow anybody that currently has continuing contract to continue to have that.
Would you like us to move the amendment now?
That would be fine, sir. Yes.
We have a motion by Rave, second by Rampelberg, Amendment 187, Charlie Alpha. And Paige will hand out the amendment. But essentially, I'll read online. The amendment says, on page 1, line 8 of the printed bill, after the quotation, period, unquote, insert, the provisions of this section do not apply to any teacher who, prior to July 1, 2013, has entered into a contract with a school district pursuant to 1343.4, 1334.5, for the teacher's fourth consecutive term of employment with the district or a subsequent consecutive term of employment with the district. So, what? Okay, I think that would be relevant. But go ahead, Senator Nostrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The testimony, the opposition testimony was persuasive and correct in many regards. But that's not the issue. The issue is who should be making the decision. The proponents passed around a state policy manual, and that's a policy manual handed from the employer to the employee. And that's, we're not the employer of the teachers. The local school board and the local school district is the employer of the teacher. So I would advocate in favor of that same relationship. And as I sit here, I think of all the decisions that we make, and as I think about Washington, D.C., and all the decisions that they make, and all the decisions my county commissioners make, and my township commissioners, and I've got two guiding principles as to who should be making the decision. Who's closest to the situation, and who knows more about the situation. And if you believe the legislature is closer to the situation and knows more about continuing contract, then we should make the decision. If you believe the local school district knows more about continuing contract, then they should make the decision. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee.
Thank you, Senator. We'll now close to public testimony and go to committee questions. And I will allow leniency for questions both to the original bill and the amendment for the sake of the discussion. Senator Maher.
Ms. Waltman.
Sandra Walton with SDEA.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The testimony we've heard this morning, mm-hmm. is all as if continuing contract was completely being eliminated. But yet this bill leaves it up to the local decision makers at that local school level. Are you under the impression that the local school districts are going to do nothing?
Mr. Chair, our impression of this bill stems from, again, we're not against local control. It's about individual rights. And we believe that the state, including this legislative body, has made it perfectly clear that we want more accountability in our schools, and we are working hard to put an evaluation system in process. And we believe that if school districts have the option to opt out of continuing contract, that's going to undermine that system or that process. And when you look at the teachers moving into the profession, we need to be able to recruit and retain those teachers. And by not affording them the same right that teachers who already have continuing contract have, that's going to make it more difficult for the school districts. I can't tell you that no school districts will do something about this. I can't tell you every or none. But I do think that this is an issue of individual rights, and it really needs to be handled at the state level.
Senator Rampelberg, do you have a question for Ms. Waltman?
I do not. I want to ask you, Mr. Chair, when it might be appropriate to make comments. I do not have a question.
We'll get to that here in a second. Yes, stay put. Senator Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sandra, would you talk a little bit about this amendment? Have you had a chance to look at it? And just, I would like to know your thoughts on it, since we didn't have it when you first came up.
Mr. Chair. Again, no, we haven't seen the amendment, but this is similar to the provisions that were in House Bill 1234. Again, this really does come down to what is going to attract and retain a quality teacher. And while these teachers in their first 3 years don't have due process, we want to be able to show them something that they can earn if they stay here, if they put roots in a community. If we don't say to our teachers who are coming out of school, you're going to have the opportunity to have a little job security and make a commitment to a community, they might look elsewhere. It's not just continuing contract. We're also competing salaries and many other things, and this is just one more thing that might make them look elsewhere.
Any other questions? I've got one quick. Tell me more about, you alluded to the fact that we've been told about the Commission on Teaching, and I'm not very familiar with that concept. Is that a question for you? I see Dr. Schopp sitting in the back.
I'd be more than happy to answer it.
I heard kind of it's a collaboration.
This was something that our Mr. Chair, this is something our representative assembly last fall directed the association to do. With all of the talk of education reform and the profession is changing, we wanted to find a way to brainstorm, so to speak, to bring teachers together, to have them really talk about these professional issues and how we can elevate the Commission on Teaching and Learning. The scope of what we're going to talk about is probably going to be broad, but the first thing we are going to do, we've invited the Department of Education to join us, and they have asked that this commission finish the work of the work groups for the principal and teacher evaluation. So our first meeting will be February 15th and 16th, I believe, and that will be the work they continue. They're going to honor the work of those work groups. And then from that, we will probably look at everything from teacher prep programs to various certification programs to whatever those teachers and administrators and legislators want to talk about or think. We're going to put everything on the table and kind of sort through and create that blueprint for helping our teachers thrive in their profession, because that ultimately will help the students.
I don't know if you can answer this question, but when I first, when you started talking about it, technically, from a professional development perspective, I think it sounds pretty good. But from a relationship perspective, how important is this Commission on Teaching to, what do you call that, Maher? Mending fences? I suppose.
Mr. Chair, I will try to answer that. As you all are aware, we Senate Bill 1234 did cause a kerfuffle. We had that debate. It was a vigorous debate. The voters spoke, and now we all have to kind of step back and think about what's best for the kids, and what's best for the kids is not us constantly going back and forth on what's right and what's wrong, but it's really trying to find an avenue to come together and collaborate and figure out if we need to address some issues, if we need to fix some issues, what are those issues, and what can we demonstrate that will help our teachers and our students in the classroom. You know, there are states trying all sorts of new strategies. They're being innovative and creative, and how can we foster those things in South Dakota, and what is it that we need to do? So we're hoping that by creating this commission, we can bring people to the table, put the past behind us, and really focus on how we can make the teaching profession the best it can be, and so we can help kids.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would there be a possibility of asking the Secretary a question?
You may. Secretary? Oh, Secretary Schopp. Jill's sitting right here. Secretary Schopp, are you willing to come forward to answer a question? I get the look like not really, but you're coming anyway.
Secretary Schopp, why should we support Senate Bill 187 and the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jensen, we're not supporting or opposing. I just don't think I should have an opinion on that today.
Okay, I didn't know. Thank you.
Thank you. I've got a question maybe for one of the... My question is, and it goes to the evaluation piece. Oh, she's leaving. No. Not necessarily you, but how many districts don't do evaluations? Maybe it's a Wade Pogany question. I'm just curious. All right, you would like to answer. All right, thank you.
Melody Schopp, Department of Education. Currently, in law, it's required that districts evaluate their teachers. So I would say that there isn't a district who does not evaluate. Okay. And so we don't track that, and that's part of their policy. Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
I got one last question. All right. Ms. Waltman.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman, back east where schools are 10 miles apart, and should this bill pass, wouldn't the free markets determine where teachers go? If you have a school A that has a really, really crappy program and school B that has a really, really good continuing contract program, wouldn't the free markets determine all that? And maybe if school A that has a really crappy continuing contract program, if they realize that, wouldn't they eventually change their ways should this pass? I mean, what are your thoughts on the free market there?
Mr. Chair? Senator Maher, that certainly is a possibility, and I would hope that school districts, when they're negotiating their contracts, would see the value of offering that to prospective teachers. However, again, we go back to, if you have a school district where you don't have continuing contract, and for whatever reason the district decides to make that decision, you're ultimately going to be undermining the teachers in that district, and that's going to impact the kids and the quality of the teachers that they can attract and retain.
Thank you, Ms. Wallman. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll now close the public question and answer period on Senate Bill 187. We do have a motion before us to amend. And again, it's essentially, I read it earlier, but it's 187CA, and it essentially adds a grandfathering provision into the provision of this section to apply to any teacher who, prior to July 1st, 2013, has entered into a contract with a school district pursuant to 13, 43, 4, and 5. So any discussion on the amendment? We do. We're in discussion. We did, but we have not acted on it. And so I just wanted to open a discussion period on the amendment. Seeing none, we'll now go to action. All those in favor of 187CA, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? By 187 has been amended. I'll go to committee discussion and or action on 187 as amended. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly appreciate Senator Novstrup's local control argument, and I, too, am a proponent of local control. I will say at this time, I have a district that is teacher-rich, and I don't have specific industry sitting right in my district. It's schools. And having raised three children and been in contact with so many teachers and having volunteered and worked in my school, I feel very strongly that we have wonderful teachers. There is a mechanism already for performance appraisal. And when I was on the campaign trail for 1234, the two most difficult issues within that bill for the people that I represent was the piece about differentiated salaries for science and math teachers at the local level, and then this piece of continuing contract. And the voters have spoken on this, and I just feel that the timing of this bill is really dangerous, that I understand that local control is important, but I feel it signals to our teachers to try to explain we support you and we support local control at the same time is really difficult if we pass this bill. I feel there are mechanisms if we have poor teachers. I think this says to them, we don't trust you. We don't trust our school districts right now. I think the timing of SB 187 is ill-advised, and that this is a time of healing. And I also am interested that, we had no comments from our superintendent body talking about what their wishes were in local control, and that, obviously sitting neutral if this would happen, they might be excited that we were doing that work for them. But over and over and over again, I heard that the state, the legislature, the governor does not support teachers, and I don't think that that's true. And that right now, we don't have a lot to offer them. And we look at where we're at in budget, where we're at in salary dollars. They have a very difficult job to do. When I look at the requirements, when we look at the educational goals that we have and the kind of expectations and how our teachers are rising up and introducing new modalities, taking care of kids that are troubled and having difficulty with support from their families, we're asking them to do a lot. And I would really encourage this body to defeat this bill at this time and what it would signal to how we really feel about our teachers. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Senator Buell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I strongly agree with my fellow friend from Minnehaha County, and I also noticed that we didn't hear from administrators or local school districts asking for this sort of flexibility. And I think it's partly because the need for due process is not a variable local issue. I don't think that this dynamic is really that different in Faith or Elk Point or in Sioux Falls, because you've got the same danger of discrimination or nepotism in any of these dynamics. It's a building dynamic, not a local dynamic. We heard on Tuesday that we're upside down in our graduates going into teaching and retirees. I don't think this helps. I think this is the kind of thing that sends the message that you should look elsewhere for work. If you're going into teaching, great. You probably want to look in Iowa or Minnesota. So I think this is a dangerous step, and I think I hope we reject this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a couple comments, Mr. Chair, with your latitude, please.
Please.
First of all, I want to compliment Mr. O'Brien. Really appreciate you taking the time. You know, in my opinion, you ought to get that printed and pass it out. I mean, your description of the situation is the best I've heard personally, and it's very compelling, and I really compliment you on taking the time to write it up. I would just urge you to share it. I wanted to talk just real briefly about the things that I hear going on. In our other committees, in other hearings, we've listened to people talking about this regional concept that's kind of being explored right now, and I'm really excited about that because it lays the groundwork for how we might proceed in the future across the state, and it's coming from the people that need to be talking about it. It's not us, it's not the legislators, it's not the governor, it's the people, and I'm really pleased that that's happening. I want to compliment the SDEA, Ms. Waltman, on your efforts, so your Commission on Teaching and Learning. Excuse me. Unfortunately, over the years, I've kind of I've always felt it's more of a negative than it's been a positive from the standpoint of your activities. This is a really great positive step in the right direction, in my opinion. I think about the ESAs that are occurring right now and what we're hoping to be able to fund there. Excuse me. And I hear what's happening right now with performance evaluations, and I'm really encouraged by all of that. So I just want to compliment you who are working on this, because this is the kind of thing that I personally would like to, I have been concerned about in the past because I haven't seen it happening, and it's beginning to happen. I compliment everybody. But I also feel that this is too soon. I agree with the other two previous, and if you would accept the motion, Mr. Chair. I thought you were up for action as well as discussion.
You're out of
order. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm kind of new.
Any other discussion? Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have wonderful teachers in the state, and if Senate Bill 187 as amended passes, we will still have wonderful teachers. I do believe in local control, and I will vote that way.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I came into this hearing, admittingly, willing to listen. And I think as committee chair, that's my responsibility, is to not form an opinion prior to the testimony and inform an adequate decision upon that. But it is too soon. Now, we all were out beating the trail, knocking on a lot of doors, and some of us, the doors are a lot closer together than others. But at the same time, we are very fortunate in Lincoln and Minnehaha County to have not only a large number of teachers, but a large number of retired teachers. And they were engaged. They wanted to talk about specifically about 1234, but also about the profession. And then I had to reflect, and one of the most respected teachers that I always fall back on is my mom. She's 71 years old, retired when she was 65 from full-time teaching. And since she's retired, she probably averages 80 days a year of substitute. And I am very encouraged by the concept of this Commission in Teaching and Learning. And I kind of selfishly asked Ms. Waltman a question about the relationship mending, because I'm really concerned about that from the overall state of the state of education in South Dakota, from a teacher, administration, legislative perspective. And so I hope that we can put this issue to bed for the 2013 session and get on with our work of embracing this Commission on Teaching and Learning together, you know, with the department, with the schools, with the administrators, with the school boards, and continue to lift up this great profession for what it does every single day for our children. So with that, I'll entertain a motion on Senate Bill 187 as amended.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. I move SB 187 to the 41st day.
We have a motion by Soholt, second by Buell, a 41st day, a defer to the 41st day. This is final action on Senate Bill 187 as amended. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed, nay. Jill, will you please call the roll?
Senators Buell.
Aye.
Jensen.
No.
Maher.
No.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Rave.
No.
Johnston.
Aye.
Four ayes, three noes.
Senate Bill 187 by a 4-3 margin is declared lost. With that, that completes our calendar for...
Thank you for consideration today.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it. That concludes our calendar for today. We actually only have three bills left for next week. Next week is the last week before crossover day on February 19th. So on Tuesday, we will hear Senate Bill 194, an act to extend the sunset, bless you, date for certain expenditures from a school district's capital outlay fund. Senate Bill 230, an act to equalize certain levies for the general fund of school districts. And we also got Senate Bill 76, at my request, referred back from the floor for further consideration. And so we'll hear those three bills on Tuesday and leave next Thursday open flex. But at this point, I don't believe we'll have any agenda for next Thursday prior to crossover day. So with that, 76, 90, 194, and 230 will be calendared for next Tuesday. Any questions, comments? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Buell, second by Rampelberg. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Senate Commerce, Senate Education is now adjourned.
And Commerce.